Wouldn't it be great if three idiots picked apart each episode of your favorite podcast?
We do that. Wouldn't it be great if we discussed the newest episode, ongoing theories, and predictions for what comes next?
We do that. Wouldn't it be great if they didn't ruin the podcast at all and kept everything spoiler-free?
We don't do that. You've been warned.
Taz Fancast. I'm your co-host, Chris.
I'm your co-host, Cheerwine Mountain Dew.
And I'm your other co-host, Colin.
This week's episode is Dust Setup.
Yes, and guys, I'm gonna need you to put away that lemon pledge, because it's gonna get dusty.
God, no.
So dusty. Yes.
I got my Swiffer. And all the dusting pads.
Yeah, you gotta put that away. It's gonna get so dusty in here.
So dusty. Oh, it's gonna clog up all the filters.
Oh, yeah.
All those podcast filters.
It's gonna get so dusty.
Guys, I'm gonna need to buy new podcast filters.
Put that Swiffer right in the closet where it belongs. No Swiffer this week. On this week's episode, Travis and Clint and Justin and Griffin sit down and go through the setup of the new Taz mini arc, Dust. They spell out their characters. And Travis lays out the rules for the new episode. It's all very exciting.
I think so. I'm pretty excited.
It's really exciting. I really like the setup. I think the work, they're clearly getting better at character creation. There's been a lot of thought put into it, and I think on this one, they hit a good line between doing the right amount of character creation and exposition and world building without going too far into like extraneous motivations and abilities and things like that. I think they're finding their stride in how to set up these mini arcs. And getting to the end of the episode, you guys know this, but for all listeners, I texted all you guys and just was like, fuck, this is going to be so good. When Travis read the intro, I was just so excited. I'm so ready for this one.
Yeah, and they did a good job of making it obvious that these characters will already know each other and be in the world.
And have a very good reason to do it.
Right.
I think. That's one of my notes that I'd like to talk about later.
Yeah, absolutely.
So being back to a setup episode, it's we haven't done a setup-only episode yet where we don't have any plot to talk about, just sort of facts they've shared.
Yeah. So we aren't really Zone of Truthing this week because our predictions were necessarily vague and
yeah, I mean, Justin is not a tree. Sorry, Colin.
All right. I did not predict that he would roleplay as a tree.
Though, I mean, there's a cool, is there like a plants-based powered by the apocalypse system they could get into?
Oh boy, I'm going to have to look that up.
Just like, I'll be a fern, and you can be a redwood, and Jake is, I'm going to go with moss, but like cool moss. Because it's always on the north side of the tree, so yeah. It's cool.
Yeah.
I'm Jake Cool Moss.
Hey, that's not terrible.
Yeah.
When you need to create a new profile on something online, cool moss.
Yeah. Not a bad one.
You've done worse.
Yes.
Done worse this episode.
Yeah.
So let's take it from the jump.
Yeah.
We're moving into Urban Shadows, right? Is that the name of the game?
Yeah, Urban Shadows is the game, set in a Western United States-inspired land. And that, Travis went to some pains to sort of lay out how it is the Wild West, but also he's taken a lot of liberties in creating this as a very not based in factual world, especially considering what they isolate as the problematic bits of the Wild West culture. I don't want to dive into critical discussion too quickly, but that was the first thing that actually raised bits for me in terms of world building is, do you think, I sort of had an inkling that it feels somewhat inauthentic to create a world, as they've described it, without characters that you don't want to interact with. you know, Griffin says, like, I don't want to interact with a racist or misogynistic NPC. And I was like, that's good. Yes, I agree with that. But is there any sort of dishonesty to creating a world in which all characters maybe share your worldview and values that that you aren't challenged by people outside of that system and don't have to interact with that? Or is that okay in terms of the narrative they're creation?
So I think it's going to be okay for this narrative because there are likely going to be certain issues that are tackled.
Yeah.
We're just trying, like, they're just trying to create a world where the baggage of all of the shit that is part of our sort of 1800s Western history isn't the backdrop, so that there's room to cover interesting and meaningful problems, just a very select set.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I'm sort of, I kind of played around with that idea as well, Chris. And I think, honestly, I'm okay with it because of, you know, there will still be issues and tensions across these factions that will be there no matter what. And I think it is helpful to say from the top that it is not meant to be an allegory of the racism or sexism of the old Wild West. It's meant to be a standalone thing.
Right.
In which, I mean, you know, I think there will necessarily be tensions between the two major parties that Travis talked about, but also between, you know, werewolves and vampires and...
Well, they refer to them as fleshes. Is that how he says it?
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I think they even go as far as like the fangs, furs, and fleshes.
Yeah, yeah.
So even with them having separate names speaks to some sort of tension.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I also think it's a place where, again, four or five arcs isn't necessarily a lot of room to go in depth with a social critique or exploration, like to give it to not to ignore it, but to even give it the kind of attention it should have,
right,
would proper, probably take longer. Yeah. And so like, I could see that in season two as an element, like if they had the time to flesh out this sort of social issue they want to address. But I think that's someplace where we're limited in the scope of what a mini arc can do. And I'm excited to see what gets handled.
Yeah, I think it's a good, I think it's a good choice. I think it's a choice I very much appreciate. I don't want that in media I consume necessarily either. I just was concerned if there was any sort of disingenuousness to world building if you're going to remove the problematic parts. You know, there is.
Yeah.
But I think it's. I think what you guys are saying is right. It's a fair pass to give them that. We're only going five episodes deep. If we come back to the world of that Travis is building, they can deal with it then. And then there's more reason to be concerned about authenticity and the depth of the world. Mm-hmm. But for five episodes, for 5 hours that we're going to spend in this world, it's okay that it's not mirroring the actual change that would come out of a society that exists anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. That was my first criticism. We can move forward in the episode. That was just from the top.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's important. Like, I think that's, I'm excited that it's, again, a very different world than the ones we've seen before.
Yeah.
You know, like, it gives us opportunities to look at different social issues and dynamics that we haven't seen the brothers play out before.
So I'm curious, speaking of things that are new, they talk about how there's going to be more of a possibility for sort of a PvP, player versus player, mm-hmm. conflict within this system.
Which I think is so cool.
Yeah, yeah. What are your initial thoughts? Because I had to ponder that for a little while and figure out how that would play out, especially in terms of the podcast, because I feel like we have to reframe the game system in terms of this podcast mm-hmm. as they go through it.
Well, and so it's something that I'm really excited for because I think I felt underwhelmed by the conflict in Amnesty because it wanted to be a combat-oriented conflict.
Right.
But we didn't get a lot of that. Instead, there was all of this social building and different people coming at it from different perspectives. But there was no game mechanic that supported that. It was just role-playing. So I think imposing some rules on it and making the stakes really clear to understand because of game mechanics is really interesting to me.
Yeah.
So I think this is going
to
work.
I'll be interested to see if that actually plays out in 5 episodes. That's not a whole long time for, you know, I wouldn't think that would be a long time for deep-seated animosity to flow through these characters. And
no, but it's neat that it's a mechanic. Like, they're going to have to come to it since it's a mechanic if they have to ask. I forget the exact phrase. I don't have it in my notes of at the beginning of each. And again, I wonder if this is at the beginning of each episode or at the beginning of each. Like campaign, you ask like, "Who are you in conflict with?" or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, right. Whatever
the phrase. Well, and I mean, the broad story of the campaign that there's been a murder, and tensions are running high. I think maybe that sort of jumps because we're coming in the middle of an event already. There's already these conflicts happening, and we just get to pop right in there.
The trick being, though, that the conflicts that have been outlined are not necessarily between player characters. Mm-hmm. Especially that two of them are human, one of them is were, and the other is, and there is no vampiric character. And it seems like the primary tension is between...
is a ghost.
Yeah, one of them is a ghost, but the ghost, ghost is not one of the acknowledged, like, trio of people who exist in Dry River and Crescent as a whole. So... there is not the story specific or the story overarching tension between, you know, three factions that are not equally represented, I guess what I would say.
That's fair.
If the tension seemingly is between werewolves and vampires, and we only have a half-were character and then all humans, they're not going to be necessarily in the center of that from the jump.
That's fair.
Yeah, especially because two of them are fairly new to the territory or new to the town of Dry River.
Right,
I don't think Gandy Dancer or Errol have been there for that long.
Than 2 years for both of them.
Yeah, they probably don't know anybody in town, like well enough to have a big conflict. I mean, I could be wrong. We'll see.
It depends. That was sort of a question I had actually, sort of overarching about Errol Griffin's character. Is I can't entirely figure out what his relationship to the town is. Because he seems like he's simultaneously a fixture of the community and new to Dry River.
Yeah.
Which is a weird dichotomy to deal with.
I struggled with that a lot, too. Is, you know, he's been here for 8 months, but he's very proud about his and protective of his territory.
And people are already seeking him out. Like, he's already established himself as a community figure, despite having... likely a mysterious background that he's not necessarily sharing, given how Griffin has built out the story.
Yeah.
I mean, remember that as a politician, it's his job to engender those kinds of...
But I don't think he's been a politician since he became a werewolf.
Yes, he has.
Well, since he's been half-werewolf.
Half-werewolf. Yeah, I mean, that seems like the becoming half-werewolf wraps up Act 1 of Arrow's life.
Yeah.
And we're now in Act 2. But I think Jake's right. Like, those skills and that desire don't necessarily go away. I think it is... I don't know. And this is maybe... we'll figure out more how the town feels about this, because we don't really have that overarching sentiment of the town about how quickly would they be accepting of Errol in terms of falling into place, and what... was there, like, a power vacuum he could move into and that this was really a necessary thing, or is he having to carve out a role for himself that didn't exist, as opposed to stepping into these people need help and they'll quickly look to me as a person to help with.
Yeah, I don't know. I just that caused some, you know, cognitive dissonance for me.
Yeah, there seemed to be. I think it caused some for Griffin too, because it seemed like he had thought through a bunch of it, but then a lot of it required on world building he didn't know about yet from Travis. So he sort of had this overarching thought and then was just trying to slot into what Travis had built, and then maybe some of those things didn't jive. So as they were building the characters in the episode, they're figuring out, like, well, wait, what does this mean? How do we do this?
Right.
Which was an interesting sort of set of mental gymnastics they seem to be doing. Well, he wanted to be president, but maybe he was bad at it. And then now he's here and that's good, but he's still not great at it, but he's better at it now. And I was like, wait a minute, what are you doing? Yeah. What's happening? Yeah. Just be a ghost. I get the ghost. I have way more notes on Justin's character because it was very well thought out.
Okay. So, I mean, I think that's a natural break. We've started, let's go back to the top and talk about Griffin's character, because we've started, like, we've led into that some.
Yeah.
So let's talk mechanics and interests and, god damn it, why is he a werewolf? Just, like, and he's half werewolf, and I think that makes it even worse for me, because, like, this is just going to be a rough 5 weeks, guys.
So I have one, and here's my most important question. He's halfway through the transformation. How much snout does he have?
I would have to imagine it's full snout.
Full snout?
Full snout. That's the, like, first piece of the transformation.
I mean, shoulders first.
Yeah, like, and then the, like, legs folding kick out. Legs. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now, which, well, I guess it depends on which, you know.
Which?
It depends on which, you know, transformation.
I mean, I think we have to use an American Werewolf in London.
I mean, but he specifically mentioned Teen Werewolf or whatever.
Teen Wolf.
Oh, yeah, I've never seen Teen Wolf.
Me neither.
I mean, also Twilight.
Right, right. So he's half CGI.
Yeah. I mean, has to.
We're going to green screen this off. Do it in post.
He's half pixelated.
Yeah. He's just, it's Griffin, played by Andy Serkis. He's playing Earl. Yeah.
All right.
Because that was my question of, you know, and I think this is just a me problem of, if you're wandering around with the snout, that's a lot. But if they accepted that werewolves exist in this world anyway, it's probably not actually a problem.
But from what it sounded like, I don't know that werewolves exist in, like, the open. Like, I don't think people are running around as
werewolves.
As werewolves, right? Because you don't transform. I mean, you're not always in wolf form. Werewolf form.
But people know. I mean, the humans of the town would know that werewolves exist.
Right.
I think.
Right, and they might even know who the werewolves are, but you don't have to interact with them in the form of a werewolf.
Right.
You know, you don't have to interact with them. Or if you do,
it's your job to just be dying at that time.
Yeah, right.
Well, and that's something that I'm intrigued about, is because we don't even know that.
Yeah.
The world building about the lore and the kinds of creatures that these vampires and werewolves are seems very much constructible. Or Travis has it written out and hasn't told us yet.
Yeah.
But
I would bet Travis knows.
And, well, yes.
I just don't know it yet.
Yeah.
He probably does know if the snout is first in the transformation process, or if it's from, like, the bottom up, you know?
Maybe, should we pause recording and just tweet at him real quick?
See what he says.
See if we can get
some. I think he may be on a boat, so he might not answer.
Going faster. I wonder if he, does he have his flippy floppies? Yeah.
Probably riding a dolphin.
Hey, everybody, go listen to T-Pain's I'm on a Boat with the Lonely Island. It's very, very good.
I feel like it's the Lonely Islands with T-Pain.
But who is more important in that? It's T-Pain.
Yeah, that's fair. That is accurate.
Who makes it?
Poseidon.
Oh, okay. But speaking of Griffin's character, so he's... well, actually, we talked about all the things I have to say. I don't know.
So, yeah. I mean, I think...
Cool. Good job, everybody.
I was, again, intrigued at playing fast and loose with the rules of, like, the established character archetypes.
Yeah, I read all the characters, and I don't want to be any of them, so I made a different one.
And, you know...
Something that would be narratively interesting to Griffin.
You know,
who's not writing the narrative.
Right.
We'll let Jake talk now.
If the idea is to get a sense of the system, and we have the same problem in Amnesty... It might have been easier just to be an out-of-the-box character. Yeah.
Agreed.
I think the way they navigated the sort of the ability and weakness makes sense.
Yeah.
That two armor just seems way too valuable to pass up. So I wonder if we'll see Travis maybe fudge numbers in a similar way that Griffin did to make sure that Griffin's character gets hurt, or, you know, that everyone's going to have a silver weapon because,
right,
you know, we know that that's a weakness. Also, a silver mine in vampire and werewolf territory seems like it's just going to be bad news bears for everyone.
Are vampires, is silver a weakness of vampires?
Yep.
I thought it was like wooden stakes and
also crosses. That. Also silver.
Well, I wonder how it is in the game.
Yeah. I haven't read the backstory.
I mean, I would imagine wood is pretty common as well. So.
Right.
That probably wouldn't help.
But there's probably not much holy water based on what they've described. Though there's a church, so maybe there is.
Well, and again.
I wonder who the church is for.
Maybe they aren't weak to holy water because they're not unholy beings in this world. Like,
that's a good point.
Where is the vampire origin, right? Like,
you could drive it all the way back where to detach vampiric lore from the lore they're creating here.
Maybe that means silver isn't a problem, but like right off the dome, listen to that episode. It was like vampires and werewolves and a silver mine.
Yeah.
Like,
well, he talks about werewolves have a silver allergy in system.
That's true.
It doesn't address vampires because we don't have any vampire characters yet.
Yeah. Which would have just been so much better.
Well, I don't know, because I feel like the transformation, like if he was a half vampire, like it'd be much more subtle than a half werewolf.
Just like one fang?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh no, this...
You can only see half of yourself in a mirror.
Yeah.
Is it like left and right, or are you just sort of like... opaque, you're like a 50% opacity on yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I think it would be left and right, and like you would know that one half of your hair looks really good, but the other side is sort of just
my vampire eye, it's my human eye, it's my vampire ear, it's my human ear, but they're on opposite sides.
Yeah. You're
like kind of like a
mixing and matching would be even weirder. But like,
what happens when you try to like stand with your vampire side to the mirror?
You become like a weird.
Like, what would you see?
Cubist painting.
Yeah.
Just all goes wrong.
Be very uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So I think we can all be thankful he didn't do half vampire.
Be a lot of... I mean, Travis would just have to write all mirrors out of the story.
That's true. I mean, if Griffin can write elevators in...
Right, why can't we write mirrors out?
Yeah.
I'd be curious. I mean, that's another thing we're going to have to track now, is how many times do mirrors show up and how do they treat them?
Well... Yeah, we will. I feel like mirrors were not as common in the Old West, or more valuable.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's because of how...
They were made.
Like, right. It was an expensive process back then.
Yeah.
And how many vampires were around, so they didn't let them...
Oh, of course.
Yeah, there wasn't nearly as big of a demand.
Right,
yeah.
So we can keep going in reverse order since we started with Griffin.
Yeah, let's do that.
Clint's character, Gandy Dancer the Wizard, which I appreciated that he said, I've never played a character with spells before.
No, you're not wrong.
Yeah, like you never played a character with spells before correctly, but you had them. So she is an East Asian female character of an unknown age. Who comes from a railroad family and is being, I guess, funded by this big railroad magnate, and then is basically Harry Dresden through all the rest of it. Like, travels around solving crimes, fights bad guys, has a strange demon partner, homunculus thing.
Yep.
Cool. Very cool.
I did think it was interesting, for better or worse, where they said they were going to ignore a lot of the societal ills of the Old West.
Yeah.
To have an East Asian character who comes from a family that worked for the railroad.
Right.
Like, well, you're kind of talking about one of the big societal ills of, the Old West.
Right. So they're being authentic in, like, yes, a lot of people were either brought over or came over from Asia to build the railroad, but we're just going to pretend like all of the problematic parts of treatment and sort of third class societyism that existed there did not.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems it almost feels like cherry picking history. And, you know, maybe it wasn't intentional. He's wanted to, you know, be something else. So, you know, from the characters he's normally inhabited. But I did think it was interesting.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that's, I follow your point. But I think that this idea that he is being something different is really exciting. You know, I think everybody else has sort of taken on some different roles here and there, but the older gruff guy,
that's been
Clint's spot.
Yeah.
So like, I'm really excited to see him play something different, someone different.
Yeah. And I think, Clint in the past has also had a bunch of characters who've had, I don't know how exactly to phrase this, but, so Gandhi, to answer his big motivation, is trying to cheat death. And I feel like some of Clint's previous characters have had a very more friendly and or casual relationship with death in some of their dealings. Especially like Merle and Balance has a very specific relationship with...
hung out with death.
Right? Yeah. And then as in... Well, I guess commitment doesn't count. But in Amnesty, being sort of around the occult and the weird, but also seeing sort of the truth behind it, sort of became a matter-of-fact kind of person about these things. Whereas in this character, he's playing something very different than that, where he's actively using magic to get away from some of that, the death and and destruction and the end of life.
Yeah, it's definitely a different... I think it's definitely a different type of character for Clint, so it'll be interesting to see what he does with it.
You know, and I think... So a mechanic that we haven't talked about was the sort of corruption that happens. Yeah. And so I think I'm most excited to see Clint's character's interaction with this corruption as it's that active trade-off between how much knowledge do I want to get from this source that's next to me and how much do I want to stay away with it. I think that's going to be a really...
Well, especially that the source of the corruption will be this NPC, effectively, Michael, the homunculus, the haunted doll. Great, everybody go listen to my Bim Bam as well. All the MacWard properties.
Because you don't already. Like, right, how did you get here if you weren't doing that?
It's true. But I think that is a strange thing, though. And this is also the case, I think, in Justin's character, which we'll talk about in a minute, of that Clint and Justin have both created NPCs that Travis now has to play. Presumably. Yeah. I don't know if it's going to be like Beacon, where Clint is going to play Michael and Justin is going to play Flint Chittles. And Travis is just going to sort of let that play out, or does Travis have to take on those roles, especially if they are going to be sources of corruption and some story-driven things? I'm curious to see how that will shake out, because that seems a strange thing for Travis to have to handle.
Yeah, I mean, I would think Michael would be under the control of Clint, while Flint Chittles would just be another character that inhabits the town. That would be my prediction.
Do you think having Clint control Michael, but Michael being the source of his corruption, is that just going to have to be some work for Clint to try to detach the two and make sure he's making honest choices about how information, like, if Gandhi Dancer goes to Michael for information... Where is the line between the sort of the existing pact that they've discussed and their debts and then any new information?
Well, I think Travis will certainly inform a lot of that. Like, okay, that happens. This is the result of that.
Yeah, because they're going to have to at some point sort of canonize how much has Michael shared. Like, what is the initial debt that Michael's agreed to share? And then... Presumably, they're going to go back to him during the plot line that Travis has designed and try to get more information. Where does that fit in?
Yeah,
because if they don't set that out early, I could see that being an easy thing. Like, oh well, I already agreed with him that he'll always tell me. You know, I don't know, whatever.
I got the feeling that the debt was linked to specific instances of conveying information,
not like subject areas or up to a point.
Not like. I'll tell you everything I know in exchange for one debt. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I guess it depends on how they play it. Yeah. That's sort of the idea I got, that she has already gone to him twice for information, and that's why she owes him two debts.
Yeah, because my wondering was if it was like, Michael has agreed to share with me everything he knows about magic that affects the natural world, or healing magic, and whether Gandhi Dancer has asked all of the questions that can fall under that category is, you know, has not yet been seen, or if it's more like,
and so like,
where is my horse?
And see, that's the kind of question that I'm like, the very specific instance,
yeah,
is kind of what I'm hoping it is, especially if Michael is a demonic being,
yeah,
because he's gonna, like, you would expect, I guess, him to leverage that knowledge and not give out more than is
absolutely
in his own interest,
right? Yeah,
so. Sure, yeah, I'll tell you where that thing is, but you didn't ask me how to fight it, so
right.
Why would I tell you?
But I think that's a that's a very... I think Clint is setting himself up for possibly a very tricky role-playing task if he has to be both of those people.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I'll be curious to see how he handles it. I think he could probably do it based on what he shows up.
He's really good at it.
But it's I'll be curious to see what his plan is, if any, to role-play these two characters.
Or yeah, and
to make Travis do it.
I'll be interested to see sort of the character development of Michael, because I imagine I could see that kind of character being really insecure,
yeah,
and needing a lot of sort of companionship and physical comfort. You know, he might say something like,
as
"Hold me closer, Gandhi Dancer."
So, like, how long have you been working on that one? Just trying to get
since
us there?
He said his name.
So you're fully 5 days into
forming. Oh, yep. And it pretty much went off like I hoped it would. Eye rolls and everything.
That was so bad.
So bad.
He's a doll. He'll probably need physical comfort. Why?
Why? Yeah. Wait a minute. Hold on.
Well, because dolls are meant to be held, right?
No.
No. They're collectibles.
That are, then you play with them and you hold them.
I just don't know that they're like,
"Hold me closer, Gandhi Dancer."
Can I quit the podcast? I don't want to do the podcast anymore. I'm deleting this file and we're done. Sorry, everybody. It's over.
Turning into a Jake karaoke podcast.
We might get more listeners.
Yeah.
Everybody tweet at us and let us know if you'd like to hear more Jake karaoke, because dude loves pop tunes.
We do take song requests.
Right? We can't name any NPCs after you, but you can get a song request in. So that leaves us just with Justin's character, the ghost.
Augustus.
Augustus, which I think is so cool.
And I think his relationships are what's really cool to me. I think,
yeah.
Being a ghost is neat, but having this sort of past and history and a man named Augustus getting to interact with a man named Garrett Altheiser, like, that's just a really good combination of names.
And I like that.
Garrett Altheiser. Gare Altheiser. Garrel.
Wow.
Also been thinking about that one all this time. That's all the content that I have for the podcast. You two can take it from here.
This is so bad.
It's so bad. It's
so bad.
I don't want that in our podcast. I really appreciate that Justin has built a pretty archetypal ghost in terms of, we understand, like, unfinished business, mm-hmm. haunting his business rifle, old person, like, but has also, I don't know, old person is a weird pull, but yeah,
haunting
sure.
his business rifle? Is that a...
If you talk about, like, ghosts in media, like, I think when you, so when you go to lay out the character of, I am a ghost who used to run a cashew company, I feel like there's a natural progression to, and I haunt the guy who currently runs my company.
I don't know. I think it'll be, I haunt the guy who runs the peanut company.
Yeah, the guy who killed me.
Mm-hmm.
That one.
But he doesn't know who killed him.
It's Mr. Planter.
We are really pushing Chris to his limits today.
Boy, oh boy. That monocle's deadly.
In that kind of sun, you could just, like, turn it into a laser beam.
But I think he did such a great job of building out this character. I think it's so much fun to be a ghost character. I think the mechanics, as they point out, like there's very cool mechanics in the game for how they handle ghosts.
Yeah.
Being able to, having to choose two of those four abilities, you know, seen, heard, touch, or be touched. And I think he's created a really cool and unique backstory to get.
I like that he's not a good guy.
Yeah, I am curious how that will play out, especially with corruption as such a strong game mechanic.
But it's one of those. It is an interesting mechanic, but there are a lot of things that I thought were interesting about the system that I just don't foresee being used that often in five episodes.
Such as?
Such as the corruption, the political intrigue.
Going to be like the luck.
Yeah,
exactly. In the last system. Like, yeah, it's a mechanic, but.
Right. If it comes up more than twice, that'll be amazing.
Yeah.
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 Because he even says, I see him getting corrupted quickly. It was, well, maybe.
Depending quickly, on what Travis has you do.
Yeah. It's not going to be like the first 30 minutes of episode one. You're super corrupted and Travis steals your character.
Right, right.
I mean, that could be a really easy way to get a extra week, like an extra hour a week break for Justin, though.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Sorry, I'm guys. I'm out. I'm going to re-roll my character. It's a barrel. It's just in the middle of town and he's there.
I do want to give props to Justin for calling out Travis on having comedy in a comedy podcast.
Yeah.
That was so good.
I like that. I was wondering which discussion we wanted to have about this of, is that this them being kind of jackasses to each other and Travis trying to overthink a world, or is it them starting to make a line between fun and funny as the future of the Adventure Zone as a podcast?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just, you know, Travis is trying to play it to the game of, it's supposed to be serious, it's supposed to be, but no, it's a comedy podcast, right. And that's what it is.
Well, I wonder if all of them still see it as a comedy podcast now that they're moving into these more serious arcs. It's, you know, because I could easily see Griffin saying, no, it's not a comedy podcast anymore. It's a let's, you know, a real play podcast or a narrative podcast.
I was going to say, I think Griffin takes way too many liberties with the rules for it to ever be a real play.
Yeah. Oh, so not really, but like storytelling podcast versus comedy podcast, where I think Justin is in it for having fun, but also all the jokes.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. And that's what I want to listen to.
Yeah. They did lean off with some strong nut puns, so.
Yeah.
I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, and Flint Chittles and Chint Flittles.
What did Griffin want his character, the person to be?
I don't remember.
Loopy? I should have written that down. It was just dumb. It was a dumb name. It was a dumb, bad name.
Yeah. It's like, who do you owe a debt to? Flint Chittles. Like, what? We can just make people up in this world?
Yeah, it's perfect.
Of course you can.
Yeah. Chittles is a terrible surname.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's real bad.
It was a good pull by Justin.
Yeah, no. And so, I mean, I think that's one of the reasons that I'm not, I guess, worried yet about the direction that this is going is because there are always going to be those places where comedy and humor can be introduced. And even if it is, you know, the table talk between the four of them.
Yeah, but like they had a specific discussion about the first interaction THB had with Jenkins about the shiny bow tie and his voice. And that shit was hilarious. And to say, like, basically we're going to remove that from the podcast is, yeah, the table talk is hilarious, but I think seeing these guys interact within the world built by one of them is also hilarious, especially when they don't take it seriously. That I don't want them to get away from that too far, and I don't want them to take it too seriously, which, you know, with Amnesty certainly seems to be the way it was going. And I think maybe that's part of these smaller arcs, but it's just, you know, to Justin's point, if it's a good joke, the player shouldn't be penalized for it. It makes it funny.
Yeah, and I wonder if Travis was serious about having, like, a penalty system for interactions with NPCs, or if it's just going to be, like, a as-you-go, we'll-figure-it-out kind of deal. I mean, I don't know. I was wondering...
Did you actually say that, or was it a joke that you said that?
Yeah, and this one, specifically in the setup for Ark, and there are just various bits of it that turn me onto it, it seems like this arc has more opportunities for out-of-character conversation. Not opportunities, but maybe will necessitate more out-of-character conversation than we had previously, just based on it being a new setting that's maybe not as developed, but I feel like there might be a lot more, especially compared to Amnesty, where they were in character a lot. There might be a lot more of the McElroys talking versus their characters talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think Travis is going to drive it as narratively as Griffin did. Because, I mean, my problem with Amnesty is that the first three episodes were origin story type things.
Right.
Whereas this one, it seems like they're going to jump into it and start going.
Yeah.
So there should be a lot more, I think, player interaction and humor that's born of that. And the table talk that comes with that. That was my only reservation. One of my big reservations with the system when it's, you know, you have to interact with them how you'd you have to interact with NPCs the way you'd interact with real people.
Right.
But why? It's a game, it's a podcast, it's comedy, you know.
Right. It also puts a lot more onus, I think, on Travis that not only do you have to have some thought about how these NPCs exist and like the information they know, but also what is their personality such that how do they react to sarcasm or criticism or anything of that nature. Like it's a lot more work for Travis to have authentic NPCs that react to the player characters and are not just facets to move the story along.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be very interesting. I mean, I'm very hopeful for what could come out of this arc.
Yeah.
Because like I said, I haven't listened to Taz Knights. I don't know how Travis is as a GM, but it's very intriguing at the early blush, and I hope they keep it a comedy podcast.
Yes, I do too. We can talk now a little bit about the setup that Travis has for us.
What, that dope-ass ending monologue?
Yeah, like, so good.
So
good. That's what got me so excited for the arc. I think it's a cool system. I think they have cool characters. But Travis's ending setup is so clutch. I think the coolest thing about it is that he set out a timeline. And it's this 8-hour time crunch to get things done, which I think is a very cool mechanic to put on it. So that we as listeners have an endpoint we know they're getting towards. And I think it's going to create really awesome tension around episode 3 or 4 when, if time has gone on and Travis decides they're taking too long, he can really do some stuff to make it, to ratchet up the tension and have to get them done. Or it gives Travis leeway to make some choices to advance the story in good ways. We won't ever end up in a position where we're missing out on things. And the story's going to advance at a good pace, I think, which will be really cool.
Yeah, and again, I think that's part of the benefit of really starting it with these pre-existing relationships and the directives from their Pinkerton organization.
The Grayson Agency.
That's the one.
Yeah. So that was actually, while we're talking about that before we go farther, that was a question I had is, there is strangely two setups to this episode that I think are weird based on how they built their characters. It's what Travis has laid out, where they're trying to solve the murder of this vampire by possibly a werewolf, based on what he set out. Or, all of the characters have decided during their character creation that they're there to solve Justin's murder.
Yeah.
Which is, like, a very strange thing to have two... They're basically there for two concurrent investigations. Like, I feel like they maybe need to... If that's a great establishment, it's great that they're all together. And I feel like they need to maybe wrap up sort of what Griffin was saying, like maybe they tried to do it and it went wrong and now they're done with that investigation, or if that's going to be some weird subplot that Travis is going to play around with. I think it's very strange to have them try to solve two murders in one mini arc.
Yeah. Or maybe he's will never come up again.
Right. Or it's done. That's the last we'll hear about Justin Wyman.
Yeah. I think that makes the most sense to me. Sure. They were in town to solve Justin's murder, but then this other thing happened and they were sought out for help.
Yeah. It did. I did not think it would be a mystery podcast initially. Because that is, I mean, that's, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, because I think Griffin was trying to set a Monster of the Week was sort of like, supposed to be like a mystery podcast that you had to hunt down the monster and find stuff.
Clues.
And yeah. And yeah. They never really did that.
No.
So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out, because I feel like mysteries, especially when you're not going with an out of the box thing, you're forming your own. It can be really hit or miss.
Yeah. Well, especially, you know, and it has a lot of parallels in sort of the setup of Rockport Limited, which I think came out very well as a arc, as a mystery, like maybe not as good. Like they sort of solved things in some strange ways and went around Griffin's systems. But I think it proved out that this could work. And the setup that Travis is going for reminds me a lot of sort of the Rockport Limited, like time crunch, solve a mystery, get to the end of the narrative.
Tom Baudet.
One observation I had based on Travis's narration. I'm used to talking about Griffin as the narrator, so this is going to be a slip I make a lot, I bet. Based on Travis's narration, I'm pretty sure Dry River is the town from Cars. So that's concerning.
Same universe. Haven't we said they're in the Pixar universe?
Poof. That may have been an assertion we've made.
Sounds like, but you know, like, say. Okay, so describe to me a vampire car.
No.
A vampire car is just a reverse gas tanker. No, it's a street sweeper. But it sucks
garbage?
Cars. Gas out of cars.
I mean, cars weren't invented in this world.
No, but it's the same. It's the reason I say it's the same sort of premise of this. So the premise of Cars, the Pixar movie, is it's this flourishing town that was on the local state highway, and then they built an interstate, and traffic didn't come there anymore. It's sort of fallen on hard times. The premise of Dust is Dry River, and I guess the Crescent Territory had this river running through it, which dried up somehow, and now they've fallen on hard times.
Yeah, but they still have two like big flourishing businesses, don't they?
They have two industries that exist. I don't know if they're flourishing or not.
It's called Radiator Springs.
Yeah, I thought.
Right. I mean, I couldn't. Great. You can Google things. Congratulations. Like, what? I don't know.
That was off the dome.
What do you want from me?
Well, I just like. That's not even really that close to Dry River.
No, it's not. The name is close. It's the premise of the thing is close.
Oh, see, I thought you were talking like the name, and I was like,
No, it's that it's a town that was busy and bustling, and then a change happened, and now they're ghost towns, and that means that that's it. That's the end of the parallel.
So, what are the two industries in Dry River?
Well, apparently cashew farming and mining.
How do they farm cashews without any water?
I don't know. Ask Justin.
I will, next time I see him.
Yeah. On the Joko Cruise.
And the what?
Joko Cruise.
And the Joko Cruise. I don't think Justin went on that.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe they go places. Year. We'll go to a con at some point. If anybody knows of a good con we should go to, let us know. It should be within 100 miles of Richmond, Virginia, preferably.
I mean, preferably like three.
Three. Can it come to Richmond, Virginia? All right, so you guys are not on board with my car's parallel, and that's fine.
No, oh, no, I don't.
I think it makes way more sense now that I know you weren't making a direct comparison to Cars.
I don't really see the same parallels you do.
All right.
I mean, I see the parallels you've laid out, but these are people, not cars. So there's a key difference.
There are, depending on the spot you go on the internet, there are some theories about that.
Yes. Oh, I've read many of those.
Jason Torchke of Jalopnik has some pretty good theories about how the cars are cars and not cars.
Well, I think it's interesting because I think the game Rocket League takes place in between the transition from people to cars. Because there aren't any people in that game, just cars. And well, there are egg people in the stands.
Right. Which, who's cheering, though?
Yeah, but they're the people from Wall-E. where they've kind of
they're just, all sort of just pod.
Yeah, exactly. Things. So all of these are in one giant universe.
Yeah, well, the unified Pixar theory is a thing. Like they're all one. They all exist together.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Toy Story through Wall-E through Cars.
Right. All one right. Universe. With Rocket League and the Macro universe.
The MCU. MPU. What do we call it? The Macro
podcast universe. Yeah.
MPU. MPU and Rocket League.
Yep.
Get out of Psionics.
Yeah, I guess. Anybody want to make that
a little bit of story DLC for Rocket League?
It just becomes cars?
Well, where, I mean, the Macro
where you can play as Glass Shark.
And they have to solve a murder.
They did narrate 100-foot robot golf. That's so true.
It's the potential's there.
So, I want to know, it's like, so what? So
well, I mean, it means they're open to being video game personalities.
Listen.
Hey.
Toronto!
All right, we've lost it. We're done. Anybody have any last thoughts about Dust?
Yeah.
So we can let all of our wonderful listeners go about their day.
What do you think you have to do roll to do cool revolver tricks?
Do you think any of them are armed?
I think they all have arms.
Oh my god. Because, all right. Justin's a ghost, so no guns. Candy Dancer is a wizard. Don't need no guns. And I don't think Errol would be armed. I think he would be
clawed.
Clawed.
Fanged.
Yeah. So I don't... So, which is to say, 13. You get to roll 13.
I mean, with the pluses, that's doable.
17.
That's probably not doable.
Because it's plus 2 is the maximum powered by the apocalypse, is that right?
Well, I wanted that to be a fun little bit, but thanks for that.
Yeah, I mean, nope. Listen, I'm going to take you at your word. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about revolver tricks. Now, what are the chances that Justin levitates Candy Dancer's carriage in a fun way?
Can he do that?
Well, he could be touched but not seen, and then he could just lift it up. And I think that'd be very nice.
How big is the carriage?
Carriage size?
Those are heavy.
He's a ghost. I mean, a lot of the ghosts.
Does that mean he has unlimited strength?
Well, I don't think he has like regular person strength. Like, he has ghost muscles.
I think he would have regular person strength. If he not probably less.
Needs more calcium.
I mean, if anything, he would try to live. I mean, I don't think that's going to happen.
All right. Well,
carts are heavy.
I feel like we're heading somewhere.
And I feel like, I've lost it. I had it and I lost it.
You want to take us to that place where we talk about things that might happen?
Where?
I don't know, Colin. The place that you really want us to go?
The
zone of postulation.
Zone of postulation.
I don't like that the mechanic is you have to talk over one of us.
Yeah, like, I'm fine talking over both of you.
Like just take us there.
No.
All right, so we're through the setup. We know some things. We know the basic storyline. We know the characters. We know the setting. What's going to happen in episode 1?
In episode 1, Jake will be very uncomfortable because werewolves.
Yeah, I think that's probably gonna play out.
That was mine.
that could just be the ongoing. We'll always get it right.
Yeah, at least one. Yeah. Like
we want to nail Zona on the base entire arc.
No, I think we are going to learn that an unexpected party killed this vampire, but not who or what. Like, our characters are going to learn, like, I think that might be the end of the episode, maybe, is that, oh no, this werewolf that's in custody didn't do it, and now we have even less time to figure out who and what and why.
I think that's a good prediction, because I don't think the werewolf did it. I do think they will try to interrogate the werewolf, and Clint will try to cast Zone of Truth being the only spell he ever knew during the Adventure Zone. And he'll realize he doesn't have that spell in Urban Shadows. And he will then try to play it off like a joke, like he didn't mean to cast it.
And then Travis will get mad at him for making a joke.
He will get penalized.
He will get penalized. And that will lead to him losing his haunted doll.
Yes.
Just take it away. I'm honestly not sure how they're going to lead us into this one. But I think we're going to get a lot more exposition in episode one. I'm going to bet there's going to be a lot of Griffin talking about his constituents and sort of his territory. And that's going to be a feature whether they like it or not in episode one. And I am hoping that we get an interaction of the three player characters with the new head of the cashew company, Flint Chittles. I very much want Flint Chittles in episode one, and I want to see how that all plays out.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see if they can get us there in episode one. Anyway, thank you all for listening to We Do That. Next week, we'll get to our first listen of the first actual Dust episode and see what we got right, what we got wrong, and everything else.
In the meantime, you can find us on Twitter at WeDoThat_pod or email us at WeDoThatPod@gmail.com. Send us your reactions, thoughts, and theories
so we can shamelessly steal them.
Special thanks to the Early for our intro and outro music.
New episodes of We Do That come out every Monday after the Adventure Zone. If you enjoy what you're hearing, please leave us a review on iTunes or whatever podcast service you use, and we'll see you next Monday. Bye, everybody.
Got it. One.